T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Longtime voice of Fox Sports. He's covered basically every major sporting event. Chris Myers.
I grew up, like a lot of broadcasters, covering a lot of different sports.
I don't know how you do the Westminster Dog Show without breaking into Fred Willard's character, Buck Laughlin, from Best in Show, who didn't take any of it seriously.
Let me ask you this. If you're going to put him on a football team, which would be your wide receiver, which would be your tight end? Who can go the farthest, the fastest?
Well, I don't know any dogs that play football.
I'm having some fun with you.
I do have a few of those moments where I have to hit the key to the truck and they hear one version and then the odd air is the other. And I've been told a few times, Chris, dial it back a little. You know, I try to slide in a few, you know, if the Dalmatian is out, I might say, hey, there should be 100 more around here somewhere. You know, just stuff like that that makes me a little more entertained.
Why did he put the blood on, put on one of those Sherlock Holmes hats and put a little pipe in his mouth? Are they ever allowed to do anything like that, dress up a dog in a funny way?
No, that's not quite what the purpose of these shows.
But it would, I think it would really get the crowd going. I'd get a kick out of it.
The whip it one, I said whip it good for, you know, we tied it back to the air, a little bit of Devo. So we just, whatever, wherever, as long as we're not offensive to anybody or making fun of the show. But that was hysterical, Best in Show. As accurate as it was, and as funny, they were like, please, don't go that far.
I think the Shih Tzu is a terrific
What's
dog.
That one?
The Shih Tzu.
The Shih Tzu. That's one you don't you don't play around with that name, do you? It doesn't come trippingly off the tongue. Stewardess, can I take a Shih Tzu on my carry-on, or does it have to be stowed?
Yes, that's
so is that a Shih Tzu?
An old joke, but a good one, nevertheless.
That's a crowd pleaser.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for hanging out. Mac and Parkin's on The Score. Chris Myers was a delight yesterday. We are about 2 hours away from the Cincinnati Bengals being put on the clock, and then they'll still take 10 full minutes before they make a selection of Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow has no choice but to play for the Cincinnati Bengals. That will not happen in Danny Parkins' draftless world of NFL when he becomes the commissioner sometime down the road when the world becomes completely a 420 world.
Man, that's a great idea. I'd pay myself. I'd give him a discount, too. I'd only pay myself $40 million a year. I'd cut him a break.
I will not miss seeing the commissioner hugging players tonight. That much of NFL draft I will not miss. You know what I would love to see somebody do tonight, Danny, for the NFL draft, is show me a behind-the-scenes look at the technical people who actually have to call the shots and have all of the remote cameras ready to go. I think that would be fascinating. I don't know if it would be for everybody, but for broadcast dorks like us, I think it would be amazing, the pressure that's on those guys with everybody watching. And it's one broadcast on three different networks tonight, if I have it right. Yes, it's on ESPN, NFL Network, and is ABC also carrying it?
ABC is carrying it, yeah, that's right.
So you're going to have a huge audience, and you've got more than 100 remote locations. There is a potential for disaster around every corner, and it's always a very busy, fast-moving event anyway, with all of the video inserts that you have to run and all of the graphics and all of the news that's changing while all the plates are spinning, I would love a behind-the-scenes look at that and see what the director goes through. That would, to me, that would be a great documentary.
I bet you Richard Deitch will have interviews with Seth Markman, the executive producer, and the other folks that are running it, because it's a collaboration, too, of multiple networks. Like you said, they're doing cross-talent. Like, some NFL Network people are going to be there, but ESPN is originating the draft because they're having it on two of the three networks, like you said, with ABC and ESPN. So my guess is we'll get some behind-the-scenes details on it as soon as tomorrow and maybe after the whole draft concludes, because it's going to be a logistical nightmare. Even if the teams, after they did their mock draft to work out the technical glitches, have figured it out, you add in the element of 58 of the top draft prospects having cameras in their living rooms, the directive to, when they have their home draft parties, to adhere to social distancing guidelines, the charitable component, and then no one was trying to hack the mock draft when just the teams were doing it on Monday. Now, and I know people might think this is alarmist, but it's been a thing with Zoom conference calls. This is on the Microsoft Teams platform, which some companies that use that know about the glitches that they can have. Like, there's going to be something, whether it's a hacker, whether it's some information gets leaked, whether something was shown on camera that wasn't supposed to be. It feels like a logistical nightmare, and frankly, I'm here for all of it.
Porn, Dan, porn.
Yeah.
That too.
I am too. You know, the 98 Bulls granted access to a film crew to follow them the entire season, and the result 22 years later is something that fascinates the hell out of us. Now, that's largely because of the story, but the access that we're being given that we didn't have more than 20 years ago has fascinated a lot of us. Even a guy like me, who isn't necessarily a big Bulls fan or NBA fan, I've been fascinated by it. I hope somebody is taking that into consideration right now, because what's happening with COVID-19, you know, the virus, as Wani called it, COVID-19, yeah. You know, the virus. What's happening is it's historic. And it's unique to anything any of us have ever experienced. And I would have to think some documentary filmmaker is going to seize that opportunity. And hopefully already there have been some film crews in place. I would love to have, Goodell's office, for example, when he's conducting a news conference with 32 NFL owners about what the hell they're doing here, when they're having those conversations about whether you cancel the draft, to have all of that on film and package it sometime down the road to remind us of what it was like when, you know, the virus was taking over the country. I think that would be fascinating behind-the-scenes stuff. This is unprecedented, as we've been laughing about, you know, in a weird way, because of all the promos we're running that all have that word. But I would love that.
Yeah, when sports shut down. Right? That easy working title. You could do it with all the leagues. You could just do it with, you know, March 11th, when the NBA shut down. You could do it that. You could do a basketball-themed one as the NBA rippled into those conference tournaments and then the cancellation of the NCAA tournament. Or, yeah, with the NFL. Because the NFL is going ahead full throttle. They are acting like nothing will disrupt the NFL. And I think after this draft, they'll have the draft. It'll go off. Even if there are some mistakes, they'll have a draft. The players will be selected. But then we're going to see the impact of COVID-19 really on the NFL. Because, yeah, it's impacting it tonight, but honestly, their ratings are going to be up, right? So even if there's some porn hackers that get in there, or even if someone, like, leaks the Atlanta Falcons big board because they got into their proprietary information, which would be absolutely incredible, they're still going to be players selected and all of that. But once they're going to be canceling minicamp, OTAs, delaying training camp, playing in empty stadiums, that's when the NFL is going to have to come to some sort of realization here. Like, are they still releasing the schedule next month? Are they about to sell tickets to all of these games and with no guarantee of the games happening? It's going to be a cluster, you know what, for the NFL eventually. They, just because of the calendar, have been lucky to be the least impacted sports league of all of this so far.
I heard the discussion recently about ticket sales and when the right time is for teams to be asking season ticket holders for their checks. I think it's bad form to do so now. Plus, it's just going to wind up screwing you on the back end. Unless something unforeseeable happens, you're going to wind up doing a more accounting on the back end of it, unless there's a full season of games played, and I think that is a pipe dream at this point. And I would think even if it were just a puncher's chance, it's something you'd want to hold off on until you had some certainty. I think it's irresponsible to go ahead and expect your season ticket holders. That's bad business for me. Nothing is certain. But guys, if people are going to write the checks, though, so if you own the business, it's probably something that comes very easy for you. You're used to cutting that emotional cord between you and your customers, right? I mean, it's all about what goes in the register at the end of the day. And so there's a virus. I still need my money. There's going to be football games played.
Right. The NFL has shown no willingness or interest at all in acting like COVID-19 is going to disrupt the NFL. So I have no reason to believe they're going to start with the release of their schedule or putting tickets on sale. They will only bend to this virus when they are actually forced to, which will be when players are supposed to be on the field. And I should say they've done nothing. They've closed their facilities. So that is something. Teams have not been able to conduct in-person workouts, and Andy Reid is in basketball shorts in his basement, and Ryan Pace is having his wife Stephanie with the vacuum cleaner knock out the cords for the Wi-Fi.
I got this amazing setup, Dan, with all these screens, and Stephanie's vacuuming. It hits the cord, and every screen goes black.
Hilarity ensued.
He was the one who chose to work 5 feet off of the kitchen.
Right. You got Andy Reid showing these pictures to Peter King. He's like bunkered down, and he's got two screens. He's got a TV and a laptop and then his chart. Like, just like old school to the T. And he's got a bottle of Purell on the table. Like, he is ready to go. I was surprised there wasn't like a meatball sub in the picture. And then you got these other coaches. Like, the guy in Detroit, he's got a Winnebago parked in his driveway for his IT guy that has to live there for 3 days.
Yes, he's living there for 3 days like they're on a stakeout, like in Midnight Run. Those guys with BO and coffee breath sitting out in the van outside your house. That's not going to be fun.
Joe Tooney.
I love these stories.
Joe Tooney.
I forgot Joe Tooney.
Joe Tooney. In Washington, you got Rivera having, his wife and daughter cross out names on the big board and make him a pancake eating mother bleeper. We got Ryan Pace off the kitchen with the vacuum. We got the guy in Detroit with the Winnebago. In Seattle, they said that they brought in construction crews and, like, knocked out a wall so that he could have 30 phone lines to every single team in the NFL. He could be hardwired in. These teams are just... they don't know what to do with themselves. Jerry Jones, apparently, the story came out today, he's told his scouting department to not bother him during the draft because he doesn't want to be distracted.
I know.
And he will just be drafting by himself for the Cowboys. What could go wrong?
Seattle thing. The guy's going to be looking at the setup with the 30 phone lines a year from now, like, I guess it was necessary, but I should have made a trade and made it worth it.
This is so ridiculous. Like, he's going to take a guard and be like, okay, I did all of this for nothing.
Yeah, just stayed where we were. We didn't make the trade with Cleveland. Jerry Jones cracks me up. I when you're the owner and general manager, that's what you have those freedoms. It is completely within your purview to tell everybody else to go order a pizza and take the night off. I'll take care of this. I got it.
Yeah, it's absolutely true that there is it seems like a competitive disadvantage, right? Like, one team has their entire scouting department working on it. The majority of teams do it that way. The Cowboys have the billionaire with his Johnny Walker Blue. Like, I'll choose the football people personally. And Mac, people are coming back to this, and they're right. Technically, you railed against calling this a virtual draft, but one of the definitions of the word virtual, not physically existing as such, but made by software to appear to do so, carried out, accessed, or stored by means of a computer, especially over a network. that is how the draft is going to be done, right?
Yeah,
that's over a computer network.
Right. That is one definition. I've replied to a few people who have texted along the way because there are several definitions, and what I've said consistently to the two or three people who have come back at that is that's the whole problem with the English language is there are so many words that have double meanings or some words that have three or four different meanings. And what I was taught in journalism school was if there's doubt, if there exists a possibility for confusion, try to find another word. Most of the time when people use virtual, they are talking about something that isn't real, correct?
Well, virtual reality is the most,
not real.
Right, is the probably the most common application.
Virtual golf. You're not golfing. You're hitting into a screen. It's virtual golf.
Right. As an adjective, it's described as almost or nearly as described, but not completely or according to what's actually happening. So,
yeah.
Right. But in the computing sense,
okay.
It is digital over a network. And so that's, I think, what they're doing.
All right. That's good. Yeah. Believe me, I want to get it right. That's why I brought it up to begin with, because I'm a word, Richard, and I thought it was the wrong choice because people use that word differently.
It's an odd choice for sure. Like you would just, how about just the social distancing draft? That's what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the draft.
What do we need? I hear a quarterback is good.
Quarterback's pretty good.
I don't know anything.
That was the most honest draft analysis you're going to find on any radio show in the country.
Well, he says that in, you know, maybe minute number three or minute number four after he went on the hunt for the bottle of bourbon. He was drinking. He's got three drinks in. And he doesn't even know what he's drinking. He comes back and he says that, and then he wants to talk draft at the end. Come on, what do you want to know? I got all this draft stuff.
I don't know anything.
I don't know anything.
It was just such an honest. That's why I hate pre-draft coverage, because no one really knows anything. Dave, just after a little bit of bourbon, was able to admit it publicly. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's always been something that, and I used to watch way more college football. I'm actually surprised you're so come see come saw when it comes to the draft, because you watch a ton of college football. When I watched as much college football as you and Shep do, I loved the draft because I knew everybody, and I studied for the draft, and I'd watched the Senior Bowl over and over again. I watched I think three quarters of the Senior Bowl twice this year, and it might be the first year in several where I've actually watched the game in preparation for the draft. Now, last year I had a rooting interest in Denzel Ward, or 2 years ago, so I watched the Big Ten title game a couple of times to watch him play, but I don't watch it as much as I used to. I think it's a lot of verbal masturbation. I agree with that. The whole process, the whole big production of it has always been just so much glitter and glitz and very little substance along the way. And it's a perfect television event, challenged this year. And I don't know which draft set the standard for viewership. But to your point about how well it's going to do tonight, I'd be surprised if it doesn't set a record for a draft. People have nothing else to watch. Typically, they've got baseball, hockey, and basketball as options.
Correct. I don't know which draft is the highest rate. I know that it's been going up as they've been adding more networks to it, and I'm with you. I would expect tonight's draft to be an absolute ratings bonanza, whatever that means for the NFL draft. It will be massive. If over 6 million people watch the first two episodes of a documentary that you could have DVR'd, and you now have an NFL event where every team has some sort of rooting interest, even if the Bears don't have a pick tonight, you want to know, like, is Aaron Rodgers getting a new receiver? Which stud defensive player is Detroit bringing into the division? Like, yeah, everyone has a rooting interest in the NFL outside of their own team. I would agree with you. I think it's going to be a huge number, and it's also just fascinating, like, how are they going to do it? Like, Steph was telling me, she's like, we're going to watch the draft tonight, right? This is going to be really weird. Like, yeah, it's going to be totally bizarre. Mm-hmm. So we've been together for probably 7 NFL drafts now. I can assure you she's never said anything like that other than, where is Deshaun Watson going to go? Not the Bears, because Ryan Pace didn't meet with him. I do have a quarterback that I'd be okay with the Bears selecting tomorrow. I'll give you that name coming up. And I can go rapid fire on a few things that I feel like I know about tonight's NFL draft. We'll get into that coming up. Mac and Parker.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On the Score.
They had that kid GM down in Jacksonville. What is his name?
Jeff Carson.
Rookie. Right, Jeff Carson.
Hey, buddy.
Holy man. What's wrong with Callahan?
Nothing. We like Vontae better. The question is, do you want to make a trade? Because if you're not sold on Callahan, you can still come out of here with a handful of draft picks. You look like a seasoned pro.
And everybody wonders what you're up to next year.
I don't know. I don't know, Sonny.
Look, Jeff. Every year, someone comes out of this looking like a donkey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good, because tomorrow I got a feeling it could be you if you don't make this deal.
The Rams took my pick. Everything's out of whack.
Well, you still have time.
Jesus, the clock.
Oh, the clock, Mac. Gotta respect the clock. Draft day, trending today. What was it? Vontae Mack was trending today, and just the term draft day was also trending earlier today, your beloved draft day.
Both things are beautiful. Jeff Carson, the rookie, nervous general manager, fictionally, of course, in draft
Jesus,
day.
The clock.
He was a nervous Nelly in his first Jaguars draft.
A real snub come award season, I thought.
Yeah. Jesus, the clock.
And that's another of the misses from draft day. We just heard it. When Sonny Weaver Jr. says, what's the name of that kid in Jacksonville, that rookie? Like all 32 GMs don't know exactly who has their position in all 32 NFL cities. Come on.
It's an oversight for an otherwise perfect film. it's the one thing that we could poke a hole with.
Well, it is draft day.
Oh, God. The bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including first responders and emergency personnel. Thank you for helping to keep us safe. I want to play this for you, Mac. It's from Ian Rappaport, and I asked both of our guests today about Isaiah Simmons, who many consider to be the second-best defensive player in this draft behind Chase Young, or so we thought. This is Ian Rappaport on the do-everything, hard-to-peg-where-he-is, versatile safety edge player from Clemson.
Yeah, trying to figure out where Isaiah Simmons is going to fit in has been one of the biggest puzzle pieces over the course of the last 2 weeks. You know, I've talked to plenty of teams about him. Some think he's an outside linebacker. Some think he's an inside linebacker. Some think he's a safety. I would say probably, Andrew, most teams think he's a safety. I had one coach tell me they think he's actually best rushing the passer on the edge. That's how versatile this guy is. A little bit of the problem here with trying to figure out where he goes is safeties rarely go in the top 10. Off the ball linebackers rarely go in the top 10. Are his skills enough to make this kind of rarity a possibility for tomorrow night? Maybe, but that answer, where Isaiah Simmons goes, could he slide past the top 5, maybe to 10 or more, is probably one of the most intriguing questions going forward for tomorrow night.
So Isaiah Simmons, Mac, is positionless. And they're saying now that the teams don't know, like that the media likes Isaiah Simmons way more than the NFL teams do. And I watched every Clemson game. The dude is an absolute stud. He's 6'4", 238, and he ran a sub 4'4", 40. He ran a faster 40 than Julio Jones.
What does he do best?
I think rush the passer. He didn't rush the passer a ton, but he was way more productive on a per-attempt basis than Cleveland Farrell, who was the fourth overall pick out of Clemson last year to the Raiders. But if people watch that Ohio State game this year, he was in the slot as a corner. Right before the snap, he had charged towards the line of scrimmage like he was blitzing. And then he stopped on a dime, snap happens, and he backs up into coverage and in a backward sprint towards the sideline, gets there and catches up with the receiver in the slot, makes the interception and toe taps before he goes out of bounds. He's a freak of nature athletically, and I don't know why in this NFL where it's more spread out, it's more positionless, it's more versatile, why you wouldn't see the success of a guy like Derwin James with the Chargers, who is just as likely to force a fumble as he is sack the quarterback as he is to intercept a pass. Why wouldn't you want a guy who, okay, fine, I don't know how to classify his position, but he can do everything well and he's a freak athlete. Why would that guy not work in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, if he's a football player and has the instincts and the skill level to play several positions, I understand that. I think the concern would be, do you want to take a guy like that who is not, and you're saying he's a great pass rusher, but if there's also talk about him potentially being a safety, I've never heard of that combination before.
Right.
Who might be a pass, but you know what? He's also kind of appealing at safety. He runs real well and he's 238 pounds. I'm having a tough, time getting an image of what this guy's going to look like at the pro level based on all of the descriptions and what highlights I've seen of him, because I did not watch a lot of his team. In its football last season. So
the way he sold himself to teams was, you get 53 guys on a roster, but if you draft me, it's like you have 56, because he can do wherever you need him to line up, he can do. And so if you're strong at edge, he can play more safety. If you're strong in the secondary, he can play more edge. Want him to play inside.
Guys like that scare me a little bit. And Tom Thayer referenced this yesterday. You asked him about offensive linemen who can play multiple positions at the college level. You asked him, what does that tell you about a guy? And his reply, and I thought it was a real good one, was that he doesn't do anything great. That's why they're moving him around. They're trying to find a place where that just screams, this is my position. This is where I belong. And I'm reluctant to spend a high round pick on a guy who is kind of a tweener. I just got a bad taste in my mouth about tweeners who have been drafted locally. It goes back to Wanawani's swing and misses. John Theory, is he a rush linebacker? Is he better in coverage?
I don't know anything.
Guy had all of the athletic skills. Looked great getting off the bus, had long arms, was lean, he could run, but he just didn't have football smarts, and they spent a first-round pick on him out of Alcorn State, and he was a tweener. Shay McClellan, classic tweeners.
Yeah, the difference, though, is that often with offensive linemen, it's like, oh, his arms are too short for tackle, so he's got to be a guard, so he's a tweener. Isaiah Simmons might be the best athlete in the draft. I'll just give you his stats from last year in 15 games. 104 tackles, 16.5 for loss, with 8 sacks, 3 interceptions, 8 passes defended, and 2 forced fumbles. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of stuff in the stat sheet, right?
Yeah, no question. A few of our listeners are texting in Brian Urlacher. Come on, guys. One of them said, yeah, well, we were talking about pass rushers. Brian Urlacher never was drafted to be a pass rusher. That was never part. He was going to be either a safety or he was going to be a linebacker, and they weren't sure whether he should have played inside or outside when they drafted him. It took Dick Geron half of a season to figure out, but Brian Urlacher was never a prolific pass rusher. We're talking about a guy who is probably best noted for getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he had 8 sacks and only 75 edge pass rushing. Like he just plays everywhere. It's a ridiculous player. It's a ridiculous athlete. And if he's the guy that slides, to me that goes to what we were talking about the other day. It's a lack of creativity. Like, we'll look back on that in 5 years and say, oh, come on. What? Because we're seeing it already with quarterbacks, and that was the guy I was going to bring up for the Bears. If the Bears are going to take a quarterback, and I know that was a big conversation on the station today, we could talk about it a little bit more tomorrow because that's when, you know, they're going to be picking. If they're going to pick a quarterback, I hope they pick a quarterback who has the skill set of the 2020 NFL as opposed to a guy who you thought was what the quarterback was supposed to look like in 1997.
Drop back passer.
Yeah, like Jalen Hurts run a 4.59 40-yard dash, rushed for 1,200 yards and 20 rushing touchdowns, completes over 70% of his passes, played in national championship games, played in the college football playoff multiple times. Like, big-time winner, big-time program, big-time athlete, big-time accuracy. Now, downfield, question mark. Mechanics, question mark. But that speed and athleticism at quarterback, if the Bears are going to take a swing on the guy who, like, if he hits, he's Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. Like, you know what I mean? He's in the new breed of NFL quarterback. Don't take a swing on a guy who is already limited athletically. Jalen Hurts isn't limited athletically. So if the Bears take a quarterback, I hope it's a guy like that. And the same thing with a guy like Isaiah Simmons. If I had a top pick, I would say, you know what? I'm erring on the side of the best athlete on the defensive side of the football, and my coaching staff better be creative enough to figure out how to make it work with this guy.
Well, if they draft Hurts or any quarterback, I sure hope they don't do it with 43 or 50. They need a starter in that second round. They've got two quarterbacks already. Neither of them are good, potentially. But yeah, you can't take, and you, by the time they pick next, Hurts will be gone. So
yeah, I just,
unless they trade that 43 down to get multiples and he's still there when they get to 50.
Here's the thing, after that, because I obviously agree with you that in theory they need a starter right now. I feel like the exception to that rule though is quarterback.
Maybe
like if Matt Nagy said, man, Jalen Hurts, I got him ranked higher than Love and Herbert, right? The only guy I have in front of him is Tua and Burrow. I got a first-round grade on Jalen Hurts, and I can get him at 43, and he's a modern guy. You sit him for a year behind Nick Foles, and then for the next 4 years, I've got my starting quarterback who's a great athlete, who took a year to learn my system, and I got him cheap on a rookie second-year contract like, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo, like the non-first round rookie quarterbacks. That's the most valuable thing you can have in the NFL. So I think you forget about, oh, I need a right guard or I need a safety, I need a corner, if your head coach legitimately believes that a starting quarterback for 10 years is there for you at 43rd overall.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I think it's the one exception.
Yeah, and I probably would agree with you. I have the mindset you can't, you know, you should pick one every year, and it's, you know, it shouldn't fluctuate just because the Bears don't have a lot of picks, especially a lot of real high-quality ones this year. Hell, they're not picking. I mean, 42 guys already gone before they get to it. So when you're at 43 and 50, and then a very long wait, what is the
they have a
163?
Yeah, their next pick that was theirs is 163, a comp pick at 140.
At 140.
Yeah, sandwich pick.
So you got a 90-player wait. That really is your middle school swim meets revisited.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna wait around for 2 hours so that you could swim the 100-yard freestyle and finish fifth.
Get Big Game Thomas Scotch.
Oh, God.
Was he a parking lot drinker at your swim meets?
I hope so.
I should have been. I do too.
Yeah, Heineken in the solo cup. It would not surprise me. I mean, how do you get through it if you don't? I mean, I suppose being a supportive parent and living your life through your kids, but man,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, you're not
going
to go bug the kids during their off time. That's time for them to be with their teammates and talk to girls or whatever. I would have never done that with Jack with his track. He just worked my way over to the truck every now and again.
Hey, Tom, you're up early.
It is draft day. We'll put a bow on this thing and then pass it off to what is going to be an absolute draft extravaganza. We're pulling out all the stops. We'll tell you about it coming up on The Score.
Before we talk about Joe, you told me before we started you've been watching too much TV, and we just heard from Rinaldi. Have you watched any of that Tiger King business?
None of that Tiger King business. There's only one Tiger King. He's fixing to get drafted first today.
He's a Cajun.
The Cajun.
Ed Ogeron on Joe Burrow ahead of the NFL draft tonight. And, Mac, I apologize. I had it right yesterday. Read something that was out of date today before the show. The Bears traded that comp pick that was 140 for Nick Foles. So they had the 140th pick. They traded it for Nick Foles. That was the comp pick that they got because of the Adrian Amos signing in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the 43rd, the 50th, and then do not have a pick currently again until 163. So if Ryan Pace wants to pick between 50 and 163, he's got to trade one of his 2 second-round picks.
I hear you, man. I'm all in.
112 players will be drafted before there's... That's brutal.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's brutal. Right. That's not having a few beers in the parking lot if you're Danny Parkins' dad and he's swimming. That's going home and coming back material.
That's right.
That's a long wait.
That's exactly right. And, you know, they traded up in the fourth for David Montgomery last year. They don't have the first-round pick because of Khalil Mack. So you like both of those guys on the team. So it's not all lost, but at least right now, just from an entertainment standpoint, like forget about the Bears and winning for a second. I really wish they had the 19th pick of the draft tonight instead of the Raiders having it, so that we would have something a little bit more local and exciting to talk about. I'm glad they have Khalil Mack, but tonight and tomorrow would be a lot more fun if the Bears had a top 20 pick tonight.
They're, you know, because they're not at a remote location with all kinds of players in attendance as in a typical year, there is no Brady Quinn suite this year. Is there a guy you think is going to have a long, difficult night where he's going to want to crawl under a rug and hide somewhere?
I'm worried about Tua.
Yeah?
I'm worried. Not. Just it would be crazy based on his skill set and his production, but NFL teams are conservative by nature, and he had the Bo Jackson injury, and none of these teams have been able to do individual health evaluations. They're just taking, you know, his word for it, the medical check, the doctor and all that. Like he
playing hurt.
It's
thank you, OB.
three injuries in 2 years, one being a hip dislocation, little bit undersized for the position typically. I'm just worried that he'll be a victim of circumstance and that maybe he is healthy and he just wasn't able to prove it to these teams, or maybe he's really not healthy and they haven't seen him play football since the big injury. I think it's crazy to take Herbert in front of him, but NFL teams have done crazier things before.
I think he's going to wind up a Dolphin.
That would be awesome.
We talked about it a little bit yesterday. I can't envision a team seriously entertaining the option of if they, whether it's Herbert or Tua, and I think it will be Tua, you can't go into another year with Ryan Fitzpatrick being your quarterback. You can't do that again.
Well, I think that they're going to acquire a quarterback, but
well, that means you spend one of those first-round picks on one, and you probably you want to get the best one. So if you believe Tua is better than Herbert, then that number 5 pick, I think their first one is at 5 in the first round, right? You'd use that one on him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just saying that they might be scared off by the injury, and like, what if they take a tackle at 5 and then they take – you know, they take the Love, the kid from Utah State, they take him at 18 or 26. By the way, said it at the time, very risky what they did, trading Minka Fitzpatrick for a first-round pick. Steelers ended up being pretty solid last year. I will be very surprised if the Dolphins get a better player at 18 than Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, that was a dice roll, and clearly an indication that the administration was content to lose a lot of football games last year. So you think Tua is going to have a place to sit and watch other names get called and slide back? And any other predictions that you have? Anything that you're gambling excessively on tonight? What should we be aware of? I haven't even looked at Bovada. I'm keeping my money in my pocket tonight.
No, I'm not gambling too hard on the draft tonight. And by the way, draft coverage on the Score brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. And draft coverage coming up is just going to be in a massive way. We've got Hub Arkish and like every football expert at the Score during the show. Jeff Joniak, David Haw, Dan Pompey, Mark Grody, Tom Thayer. They've got you covered right at 6 as soon as we're done here. And then all through every pick of the first round. So they'll be on for – that'll be a probably 5.5-6 hour show by the time it's all said and done. Who else would I be worried about? I think some of the receivers are going to go lower than people think. Normally when there's a ton of guys who are good at one position, it pushes all of them down a little bit. Because you say, well, why take Henry Ruggs or Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb in the top 15 if I can get T. Higgins or someone else at 40? You know, like if I can get a starting caliber guy in the second round, why use a top 15 pick there? So I think the receivers will probably be drafted a little bit lower than some of the experts think. And to dispute Brandon Tierney's Sports Minute from 15 minutes ago, he took the Louisville tackle off of his board because he smoked weed.
Oh, geez.
1996 call. They want their takes back.
That
is the worst sports thought I've ever heard.
Yeah, hey, take-home assignment for you. We spent some time yesterday talking about Vince Young being an NFL bust. I want you – we talked about a lot of guys who were first-round picks at the quarterback position who didn't live up to expectation. Tim Couch, Achilles Smith, Ryan Leaf – those are the names that get mentioned. A friend of mine alerted me to somebody who we need to recognize tomorrow. You think about that. His name didn't come up, and it seldom comes up.
Joe Thuney.
It's not Joe Thuney. Some guy who was a first-round bust at quarterback and probably is the biggest bust of all time.
Okay, I will come. Biggest bust of all time.
In your lifetime as well. You might have watched this guy play. I doubt it, but you might have. The name will ring a bell. But, yeah, good luck with that.
Okay, that is a homework assignment. You watch the draft tonight and then watch draft day.
Done and done.
Okay, I didn't think that would be too much to ask. Let's see here. Thank you to Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer on the show today. We had Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus and Dave Wanstead, who doesn't know anything about the draft and was drinking bourbon.
I don't know anything.
I think they need a guard.
It was honestly the perfect
never
draft
ask him. We should never let him talk offense. They don't need a guard. And Mitch is bad, okay?
That's the new rule. Dave wants that can only tell stories and talk defense.
Yes, that's it.
I got no problem with that. Thank you to Herb Lawrence back in the Score studio. Chris Tannehill made us sound better than we are, as he does each and every day. The Score's draft coverage with Hub and a cast of characters coming up. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
It wasn't what I expected. It took, obviously, a major turn and got a little bit unbelievable at parts. It's so well done. The message is on point for the time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.